Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya that we chant, is this the first part of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? Is it the first words of the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? Is it what Dhruva Maharaj chanted in the forest, or all of the above? Which one? I don't know. Did Dhruva Maharaj chant this? Yes? Is it the first part of the first canto? Yes? How about the second canto? What does it begin with? It's all of the above, all of them. So, Bala Grinyo Vridatas Tatra Bala Hacha Hata Prabaha Bala Hacha Vratam Jerur Brahmaner Yan Nirupitam Yamuna Yamunayam Maharaja Smarancho Dwija Basitam Balagrinyo Vridatas Tatra Balahacha Hata Prabaha Balahacha Vratam Cherur Brahmanerya Nirupitam Yamunaya Marahaja Smarancho Dwija Basitam Balagrino Vridatas Tatra Balahacha Hata Prabaha Balahacha Vratam Cherur Brahmanerya Nirupitam Yamunaya Marahaja Smarancho Dwija Pachitam Balagrino Viraditas Tatra Balahacha Hata Prabaha Balahacha Vratum Charur Brahmanerya Nirupitam Yamunaya Marahaja Smarancho Dwija Bhashitam. Repeat. Ladies, anyone else? Okay, we'll read the word for word. Balagrinyaha, the killers of the child. Vriditaha, being very much ashamed. Tatra, there. Balahacha, because of killing the child. Hata, having lost. Prabaha, all bodily luster. Balahacha Vratam, the atonement for killing the child. Charu, executed. Brahmanai, by the priests. Yat, which. Nirupitam, described. Yamunayam, at the river Yamuna. Maharaja, O King Parikshit. Smarancha, remembering. Dvija Basitam, the statement given by the Brahmana. First, the last two verses did not have a purport, but we will read those in just the Sanskrit and the English, and then we will read verse 14 today. I will read it from here because the print is a little bigger, so it's easier for me. Text 16, verse 12, Sri Badarayana Uvacha, Iti Ujirya Gato Jivo, Gyanatas Tasyate Tada, Vishmita Mumuchu Sokam, Chitvatma Shneha Snikalam. The English. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, when the conditioned jiva in the form of Maharaj Chitraketu's son had spoken in this way and then left, Chitraketu and the other relatives of the dead son were all astonished. Thus they cut off the shackles of their affection, which was due to their relationship with him, and gave up their lamentation. Text 13. Niricha gyanatayogyat gnater deham kritvojita kriyaha satyajur dushyajam sneham soka moha bayatidam. After the relatives had discharged their duty by performing the proper funeral ceremonies and burning the dead child's body, they gave up the affection that leads to illusion, lamentation, fear, and pain. Can we turn off the cell phones? It's a little hard to give class when there's competing music. Such affection is undoubtedly difficult to give up, but they gave it up very easily. Text 14. The translation. Queen Kritaduti's co-wives, who had poisoned the child, were very much ashamed, and they lost all their bodily luster while lamenting. O king, they remembered the instructions of Angira and gave up their ambition to bear children. Following the directions of the Brahmanas, they went to the bank of the Yamuna, where they bathed and atoned for their sinful activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word Balahachahata Prabhu is to be particularly noted. The practice of killing children has existed in human society for a long time, since time immemorial. But in the days of yore, it was very rarely performed. At the present moment, however, in the age of Kali, abortion, killing of the child within the womb has become very common. And sometimes a child is even killed after birth. If a woman performs such an abominable act, she gradually loses all her bodily luster. Balahacha hata prabaha. It is also to be noted that the ladies who had committed the sinful acts of administering poison to the child were very much ashamed. And according to the directions of the Brahmanas, they had to undergo atonement for killing the child. Any woman who has ever performed such an infamously sinful act must atone for it. But no one now is doing that. Under the circumstances, the woman responsible must suffer in this life and in the next. Those who are sincere souls after hearing this incident should refrain from such child killing and should atone for their sinful activities by taking to Krishna consciousness very seriously. If one chants Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without offenses, all of one's sinful activities are surely atoned for immediately. But one should not commit such deeds again, for that is an offense. So, some very important points are brought out here when we are reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam has many good instructions. But what is the big problem people have with these instructions? The problem with Srimad Bhagavatam is that if you didn't read the Srimad Bhagavatam, you don't know what happens to you, right? It's like if this is a bottle and I drink it, just like they took the poison, but I forgot the other side says, do not drink this, it is poison and cause death, right? Is it better to read that after or before taking? Who says after? After is good? Is after good? It is good, but it's better than not at all, but it isn't the best, right? Right? It is good, but it isn't the best. They say a stitch in time saves nine. Is it good to get hit by a car and go to the hospital? Yes, but better not to get hit by the car. So the trouble with the Srimad Bhagavatam is that if you haven't read it, you don't know what happens to the people who didn't read it. It sounds like kind of a tongue twister. But the book doesn't whisper to you unless you have it on tape and you turn on the tape. People think, well, I am born in India, therefore they automatically know the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, correct? Just like I am born in America, I automatically know about baseball, right? I can teach you how to do baseball. Is that correct? No. It doesn't mean that. So we find this is the problem, that if we haven't read the Srimad Bhagavatam, we don't know what happens to us. We don't know the dangers in life. Because Bhagavad Gita in the beginning gives us this knowledge of Sankhya. Who knows what Sankhya means? What is it? Analytical study. And what is even a simpler explanation? What? Counting is adding up the cost-to-value ratio, right? Like if I tell you, here is a 1,000-rupee note, it is for sale for 500 rupees. You think, well, that's good because it's worth twice that, I should buy it. Now I say, here's a 100-rupee note for sale for 500 rupees. Is that just as good? Is it? No, they're both for sale for 500 rupees, so it's the same, right? But if the cost is the same, are they the same? No? Isn't the cost what's important? No, it's the value, right? Because they are both 500 rupees, but 1,000 rupees for 500 rupees is a better cost to value than 100 rupees for 500 rupees. So the problem is we don't know the cost to value of these situations. And that is what the Bhagavatam teaches us. Because generally, we have two kinds of consciousness. We either have Krishna consciousness or we have selfish consciousness. One of some of the t-shirts says, I can't please everyone, so I'll just please myself. I don't know if they have that here. I've seen that in America. But we are thinking that if I just take care of myself, that's what's important, right? We are thinking we are the leaf on a tree. If I just take care of my leaf, that's what's important. I can forget about the root. I can even cut it off my branch and just water my leaf and it'll be fine, right? You take a branch off the tree and then you water that leaf and it will grow very nicely, correct? No, it's not correct. By watering the root, the whole tree grows. But we find that we have this selfish idea because we have not done the Sankhya or calculated correctly. We think if I want something, I want what I want at all costs, right? We think I'm thinking of something. If I just think of what I want, then I'll get what I want. And by getting what I want, I'll automatically be happy and I'll be filled with wonderful feelings and knowledge and everything, right? But we find that if we have read Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, while contemplating the, this is in second chapter, verse 62, while contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment from them. Then from such attachment, unlimited happiness comes. Is that correct? No, it isn't correct. But if you think that, will it work out that way? Just like if I drink the poison, thinking it's nectar, will it be nectar? If it says nectar on this side and I drink it, will it be nectar? But if it's poison, then it will be poison, right? So, while contemplating the objects of the senses, you develop attachment from them. From such attachment, you just have to have it. And lust arises. From lust, anger develops. From anger becomes complete delusion. Now, delusion is even... illusion means you're not sure what to do. Delusion means that you're totally going in the wrong direction and you think it must be the right direction. You're sure you're going the right way, but it's totally wrong. So from delusion, the memory becomes bewildered. Then the intelligence is lost, and then one falls down into the material pool. Don't you hate it when that happens? It's like jumping off. If you go on the top of the building, you jump off, right? As you go past the fourth floor, you think, well, so far it's not a problem, right? Because just because you do something, the reaction may not come right away. So if I jump off the top, I pass the fifth floor, the fourth floor, third floor, I'm okay, right? I dive, right? Head first. I'm okay. But when you hit the ground, like they say, it's not the fall, it's when you hit the ground that gets you. So the problem is that by thinking selfishly, we don't know that the result will simply cause us destruction. We don't know how difficult of a situation this will get us into. When we're in Krishna consciousness, we try to cooperate. We see in the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna tells the demigods to try to get along with the demons. Go churn the ocean together. Do something together. Because even for your own self-interest, it's better to try to cooperate. That's why Prabhupada said we would show our love for each other by how many faults and that we can find in each other and how many arguments we can create, right? Is it true? Well, I'm fighting with you, someone else is in my pocket stealing, right? Isn't it? This is how they steal from you. They bump you on this side, and while you're fighting with this person, this one is stealing your pocket, right? That's why in Delhi, when someone bumped me on this side, you know what I did? I grabbed the throat of the guy on this side, and he dropped the knife. And he ran, second guy ran, third one ran. So, we find that even for our own self-interest, it is better to try to get along. Envy in this world, we are thinking what the other ones have, and what I didn't have. And especially this comes in the form of children. And we see that we are supposed to try to get along. Prabhupada is talking here about aborting the children. In India then sometimes they think, well, I'll just kill the female children and we'll have male children. Then they go out to get their son married and there's no women to be married to, right? So then they just kill the child? Is that okay? In the Eskimos used to think that if they didn't give the child a name, it didn't have a soul, so you could leave it outside, let it cry to death, right? Is that true? Right? It's like if I think your money is my money and I take it, it belongs to me, right? There are plenty of people in the jails and prisons who think this way. So we find that this selfish consciousness is not only incorrect, but it gets us in more trouble than we bargained for. It's just like if a great big man says, go ahead, you hit me once, and I get to hit you back as hard as I want. Say he is a big wrestler. Would you hit him? Just like you whisper in the goat's ear, I'll kill you this lifetime, but you get to kill me later. So if the big man says to you, go ahead and hit me, but I get to hit you back as hard as I want, would you hit them? What is the thing I use for cricket? Is it a wicket or a bat? Whatever it is. If he says, you hit me with your fist, I'll hit you with the wicket. Is that okay? No. So we don't know the reaction to it. And we think, especially involved with children and marriages, people get selfish. We find there is another way they are killing them. This is why we need to distribute this knowledge. Because just because they were born in India, they have the idea that divorce doesn't look good. But if I burn the wife up in a kitchen fire, that's okay, isn't it? Divorce isn't good, but it's better than burning them in a kitchen fire and saying it's an accident. Probably of all the women who are burned in the kitchen fires, probably 19 out of 20 are not an accident. But as long as they pretend it's an accident, Krishna doesn't see this. Correct? Is that true? Yamaraj doesn't see it. Is that right? It's like the ostrich puts his head in the sand. Danger is gone, right? If I'm crossing the street, I close my eyes. Cars aren't coming, right? Is it true? But I don't see them. So just because we don't see it doesn't mean the danger isn't coming. So we find that anything involved with children and sex life and marriage, so much selfishness can be involved. So one has to be very careful. That's why they call it Grihastha Ashram. That you accept the wife that you get and you don't divorce. But if you have to, it's still better than a kitchen fire. Whatever you do, don't burn them in a kitchen fire. And if you don't have children, you don't become envious. Because it's good that they atoned, but what is the best atonement? What is the best way, what is the easiest way to be forgiven for the offenses I commit against other devotees? What is the easiest? What? Do what? Apologize. No, what's easier than that? What? Don't commit, right? If I don't hit you or steal your money, I don't have to apologize, right? If you don't do it in the first place, living properly, cooperating, and doing nicely is much better than asking forgiveness, right? Isn't it easier just not to steal a car than to pull the man out, beat him, then I steal his car, then the police come to get me, now I ask forgiveness, right? Is that the same? It's better than not at all, but much better not to commit this in the first place. So the envy comes with children. They don't want to have the wife that didn't have children, so burn them up. They don't want to have a female child, so they abort that one. Because so much selfishness is involved with children. And especially poisoning is even worse than fighting, right? At least a kshatriya says, let's get swords and we'll fight. But I say, here, would you like some nectar? But it's poison and you poison them. So you see that in this life, we don't try to think what I can get from others, but we try to think how we can use what we get in Krishna's service. People are so attached to having their children that they think this is the most important thing. But the people who have the most children are the best people. Is that true? Sometimes they are good people. But don't we know many people who don't have children? Does Jayapataka Swami or Radhanath Swami or Gopal Krishna have children? Are they envious of the people who do? Or are they trying to devote themselves to Krishna? We even know some other devotees that they're not able to have children. Are they envious? Have they poisoned the other people's children? Aren't you glad they don't think this way? Just think what an austerity that is. that instead of thinking because I couldn't have children, I'll be envious of the others, and they just try to serve with what they can get. This is even a greater thing, to try to help the others rather than to simply. That is why the teacher is so much in the mode of goodness. The students come to the class, they teach those students, then the students go on to another class and go on in life. They don't get to keep those children like the parents say, this is my child and this child is succeeding just to make me look good. So we find that the greatest people are the people who don't get some material things, some by choice, some not by choice. But they try to use whatever they have in Krishna's service. So the whole idea is that we try to serve others. How not to be involved? That is why we don't just take care of ourselves. We take care of our family. We take care of our community. And we even go beyond that selfishness of our own temple by trying to help other people. What are some of the Krishna conscious activities that extend even beyond our family and our small group and our temple to the total community? Can you think of a couple? Distribution of literature, because this way you're not thinking, well, this person is my son, this person is my friend, I will give them a book, they will read this, they will develop some knowledge and they'll make money and give it to me, so they're doing it for their benefit. You just pick some random people and you hope they will get this knowledge, and by getting this knowledge, they will advance in life, and we get nothing from it. Materially, we don't, but do we get something from it? We do, but that isn't why we distribute it. What is another thing that we we do? What else? I'm thinking of the total. There's a couple things that are Krishna conscious universality for the whole movement. One is book distribution. What is the other? What? Harinam. There's another one. What? It begins with M and rhymes with Puri. What is it? And the temple being built there is spelled with four letters beginning with a T. T, what is it? T-O-V-P. Now why is that different than others? Each one has our own temple. Laguna Beach, Juhu, Tucumcari, New Mexico, right? What is the other one at the bottom of the Mauritania? Timbuktu. I don't know if they have a temple there. It's a place for terrorists. But it is everyone's temple, right? Lord Nityananda went out and said, from this place, from this temple, Krishna consciousness will be preached all over the world. So these two activities, distributing books and building Mayapur, are something that benefit the whole movement. Now, is there a way to combine these two together? Is there? There is. Because when we distribute books, my mother was attorney for 64 years and she was a trust attorney. She actually, her service to Prabhupada was that she met with Prabhupada to write the book trust. And with the book trust, Prabhupada wanted half of it to go to reprint books and half of it to build temples. So when books are sold, the temple keeps the profit beyond what the book fund charges. And then with the book fund charges, where does that money go to? To where? To where does BBT money go to then? To more books, right? And to building Mayapur. It's funny, we were in Mayapur a couple of years ago, and someone was saying that, you know, the book fund doesn't give any money to building Mayapur. And Bhimas Das said, that's interesting, because I'm the BBT trustee, and we sent $100,000 there last month. So probably he knows better than the other person who is speculating. People speculate all kinds of ideas, but as like Prabhupada says, we have to educate ourselves on the matter. People think all kinds of things. So you may not be able to give 100 crores of rupees. The person who gets the book may be able to give some money later. They may develop Krishna consciousness. But every book that goes out gives knowledge to people. It prints more books, and some of it also goes to Mayapur. So if we can be Hanuman and move big stones to build the bridge to Lanka, that's good. But if we can just be the squirrel and kick a little sand, it takes a little bit of both, right? It takes some of both to build the bridge to Lanka. So the activity of the book distribution solves all of these things. Because as people read the books, they become more Krishna conscious. And because of that, it benefits their life and they benefit us. It helps to print more books. And it also goes to helping build the Sridham Mayapur. So again, the beginning premise here was that if these queens had read this first and realized that it is better not to be selfish. Some people don't get children. Some married people don't have them. Some of them are the happiest people because they are thinking, I will get what I take and use it in Krishna's service. Not thinking, let me take what belongs to others. And whatever we get, we only get it temporarily. Right? It's only temporarily. These things can be taken away. And especially with children. I know I had a son that died. When a child dies, it is a very difficult situation. But the way we survive in Krishna consciousness, anartha nivriti is what we need to get. And that doesn't mean 100% detached from material things. It means 60-70%. In other words, back to the Sankhya, adding it up. If we put the two children on the seesaw, and this one weighs 40 kilos, Chele said, this is 50 kilos, this one will be down, right? If you want the 50 to go up, you have to put 100 over here. You have to put more weight on the Krishna conscious side. And then we will be more detached and we will survive when difficulties happen. Because we think that in this world we will adjust everything just right. And just when we think we have it right, then if a problem comes, it even affects us worse because we're so attached to having everything perfectly our way that when it goes wrong, we are distressed. So we want things to go our way, right? We think that I want everything to turn out exactly the way I want it to. Is there a prayer we can do to Krishna that makes everything turn out exactly the way we want it to? Is there? Who says no? You say no? Who says yes? Who doesn't care? No one cares? Is there a prayer like this? There is. You know what the prayer is? You say, Krishna, today my wish is that everything will happen the way that you arrange it to happen. Then you get your wish every day, right? If I say, okay, today, Krishna, my will is to just execute your will. Then I get my wish. If I think that, okay, Krishna, one day you can have it your way, and the next day I will force you to do it my way. Is that called 50% surrender? Is it? Does that work well? How does that work for you? Do people try that? They try to force things to work out their way. And does it work out well? It doesn't. So we have to remember, not only is it our duty to act in Krishna consciousness and not act selfishly, but if on our selfish thinking we end up hurting and poisoning others. We may poison others by making up stories, right? Like if I tell someone, oh, the book fund doesn't give any money to my poor, they go, well, why should I distribute books? If I have said this kind of poison, then the person doesn't distribute books, then the knowledge doesn't get to people. That money that they could have collected didn't go to my poor. So many things happen wrong, right? So the poisoning can be more than just giving someone poison. But we have to remember to think in a way where we cooperate together to help others become Krishna conscious, to help others understand this knowledge of Krishna, and to help not only our devotional circle and our temple, but to build this temple of the Vedic planetarium. Because from there and all the other temples, Krishna consciousness will be spread all around the world. And by having books and by having one universal temple, it helps us to be out of even the selfishness of just my temple over all the other temples. So we can end there if there's a quick question or any corrections to some of the things I said wrong. I said a few things wrong on purpose, just to see if you are listening. Any questions or comments? Who is going to distribute books today? Yes? What's the first thing you have to do to distribute books? What? You have to have some with you, right? Isn't it true? Right? Why won't you sell any mangoes today? You know why? You don't have any. They're not in season. Books are in season all the time, but they're especially in season in December, right? This is a special season for books. And that is such a good price for them, 100 rupees. In America, they probably sell for about 300 rupees. All right, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for giving me the opportunity here. Jai.